Great. Good to see you all this afternoon. Almost said this morning. my name is Alan. If we haven't met before, do come and say hello afterwards. Make yourself known. I'm one of the members here at Emmanuel Church. Been a Christian for too long. Not too long. Since I was about 16, I was sharing my testimony with a good friend, actually, this weekend, when God, I heard the good news of Jesus, and I believed it for the first time. It was the first time that I had truly heard the good news and the authority and power of Jesus. And that was something like 30 years ago. You can work out my age. I was 16 when I became a Christian. Now, children, you should be getting worksheets handed out, which should be coming around. And on them, you'll be able to get cracking straight away. Because let me give you the big idea of what we're doing today. The big idea is this, that Jesus has authority and power, and he uses them to preach his good news. So Jesus has power and authority, and he uses them to preach his good news. Now, as you're filling that out on your worksheets, I want you to imagine something, and grown-ups, I want you to put your imaginations to good use. I want you to imagine being stuck, being trapped in a war-torn town, okay? You're surrounded, cut off, and there is no hope for you. The mayor of the town, he's the guy who's in charge, right? He stands up and he says, I can save us. I know what to do. I'm in charge. Listen to me. A local gang leader, a criminal, he stands up and he says, I lead this gang of fighters. I can save us. We have the strength to fight the enemy. Who do you trust to get you out of that situation? Well, the mayor, he's in charge, right? He has authority. But he lacks any power. He's not much of a threat to the enemy that surrounds your town. The gang leader, well, he is a fighter. He has power. But he lacks any authority. He's not in charge. He can't be trusted. Now, this is your imagination, so you can enjoy this bit. In parachutes, an SAS commando, or if JJ's here, a Navy SEAL. Parachutes in, she's American if you don't know who JJ is. an SAS commando parachutes in, full-blown general no less. And he's there, gun in one hand, radio in the other. I'm here to rescue you. Follow me. Well, that's a game changer, isn't it? Because he's a general. He has authority. He's got his radio in hand. He can command the troops that are out there going to fight for you. And he has power. He's an armed soldier. He has what it takes to defeat the enemy. Now, what has this got to do with Jesus and this bit of Luke that we're going to be looking at? Well, not a great deal, other than it does help us to see what it takes to be in charge. To be in charge and to be someone that you can lead people, you need to have those two things, don't you? You need to have authority. You have to have the right to be in charge. And you need power. You need to have the ability to be in charge. And in our passage today, we're going to see that Jesus has both. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to let God's word speak to us. So pray with me, and then open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bit of the Bible and what it says about Jesus, about his authority, and his power. We pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit that we would see who he is the one who has power and authority, and that we would see his great grace, that he uses that power and authority to preach the good news, to proclaim the good news. And as we will see, he does that because he is the one who achieves the good news. Amen. Okay, turn up with me, Luke chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verses 31 to 44. As you're finding that, let me just remind you of a few things from last week. At the beginning of chapter 4, roughly near the beginning, we read this. This is verse 14. Jesus returned from being tempted in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And we saw last time that he opened up the scroll of Isaiah and said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." And we're going to pick things up in verse 31. And he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. And he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out through every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and he left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. That's Simon Peter. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Well, we give thanks for God's good word, right? And it's that good word that we're looking at today. We're picking things up in Capernaum, a village in the land of Israel, northwest side of Lake Galilee. You all know where that is, don't you? Children, you know where that is, don't you? Possibly not. You might do, which is great. If you don't, okay, there's the world, and there's Emmanuel Church, right? And we're going to zoom in on that bit of the world, okay? Zoom in like that. And that is on the kind of eastern side of the Mediterranean, okay? That's Israel. And we're going to zoom in. You see, like, there's two lakes, right? Well, there's one lake and there's one sea. There's the Dead Sea down the bottom, and then there's the Lake of Galilee at the top. We're going to zoom in on that bit of the world, to a place called Capernaum. And Capernaum may have looked a bit like this in Jesus' day. It was a village on the shores of Lake Galilee. And it's at the home of where Simon Peter kind of had his house and his fishing business. And that's kind of like their base of operations, sort of, in the Galilee area. Well, let's see what happened in Capernaum. Did you catch verses 31 and 32? Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. The first thing that we're going to see is that Jesus' word, So there he is. He's in the synagogue. And as we see, he's going to go on to Simon Peter's house. Okay? Might have been there. Who knows where it was. And what we're going to see is the first thing. This. Jesus' word has authority. This follows on from last time. If you remember last time, Jesus was preaching and teaching. And he opens up the scroll of Isaiah and he says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's following on from last time that Jesus is not an ordinary man, not an ordinary teacher. Why is he not ordinary? Because unlike the religious leaders who were, a lot of them were doing a good job of teaching, in one sense, passing on information, Jesus spoke with authority. It had a weightiness to it, a quality, a depth, a conviction, a certainty. This wasn't a guy just telling you things that he had once been taught. This was a guy telling you things that he knew, that were certain and were true, that you could rely on, you could even bet your life on. You see, the teachings of Jesus and the Word of God as a whole are above any other teaching. Jesus' word has a far deeper authority than anything and anyone else. I think of things like the Quran, the teachings of Buddha, the writings of Hindu gurus. Think of the philosophical theories of atheism, of the universe, of the cosmos. Put them in a room with Jesus, and one would seem hollow and deceptive. Unreliable, shoddy, and the other would seem deep, real, certain, whole. That's exactly what Colossians 2 describes. It describes the philosophy. Thank you very much. I love my youth group. Elia, you're going to have to say it for me. Say it again. Philosophy. Thank you very much. All the other ones of those, of men, are hollow and deceptive. But the word of God is rich, full, and above all, it is life-giving. You know this, don't you? Some people, they have an authority about them. They have the voice. Children, you know this because generally this is your mum or your dad when you have done something wrong. Joshua! You know that voice, don't you? Leonie! Or actually, to be fair, it's Joshua Peter or Leonie Grace. That authority, that weight to it. Some people have that voice. But Jesus doesn't just have a voice of authority. He has the voice of authority. He is the voice of authority. If you had heard Jesus speak, you would have been shocked, surprised, in awe, as these guys were. But hang on a second. Don't think that you've missed out just because you're 2,000 years later. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is the word of God, the word of Christ. So when you sit down with your Bible and you flip open to a page and you read what's there, you are hearing Jesus' words. You are hearing the word of God. You are hearing that authority. You're not hearing it necessarily with your ears, but you are reading it. You are taking it in. You are receiving that word. And that word has authority. Have you ever wondered why so many people come to faith just by sitting down and taking their Bible seriously? It's one of the reasons why a guy that I've got to know, a good friend, he started this thing called Word One-to-One, which is just literally people sitting down with another person with John's Gospel. Let Jesus do the talking is what he says. Let God's Word do the talking. It has the authority, not us. So help your friends to know Jesus by sitting down with his words. And just reading it in a very simple and easy way. It's because Jesus' word has authority that it has that kind of impact on people. Some people are drawn to that authority. This was me when I was 11, sitting under a blanket. I was about to go to secondary school. I remember it was summer holidays, and I was sitting under a blanket at my nan's house, and there was just something about the Bible I was just gripped by. I know now that it's the authority of God's word, of Jesus' word. But others, they're hostile to it. As we saw last time, if you were here, some people reject it. But no one can honestly say that the Bible, that God's word, that Jesus' word lacks authority. They'd be kidding themselves. So what are you to do? What are we to do with this authority? Well, you have two options. You have two choices. And they're simple, really. You can either submit to it or reject it. You can either submit to it or reject it. If we submit to it, that kind of, in today's world, that sounds like a weak thing to do, to be submissive. Well, just listen to this, okay? This is the guy that you are submitting to, the guy who read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty, that is, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That was Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. You're submitting to that guy, the one who proclaims that good news, the one who achieves, as we'll see later on, the one who achieves that good news. That doesn't sound like a bad thing to me. To submit to the guy who sets people free, who liberates those who are oppressed, who, if you are struggling with the weight of your sin or the sin of the world around you, says, I will take it from you. I will set you free from it. That doesn't sound like a bad thing, does it? That sounds like a very, very good thing to me, to submit to that guy. But you can reject his authority. But be warned, just as you face the consequences of rejecting the authority of a policeman or the authority of a judge or the authority of a teacher or, dare I say, the authority of your parents, there are consequences, right? There are consequences of rejecting Jesus' authority too. He has the right to say what is, what isn't, what you should and shouldn't do. And if you reject that authority, there are consequences, as we will see later on. And don't think that you can disobey Jesus and just get away with it. I mean, after all, he has authority, yeah, sure. But he also has power. That's the second thing we're going to see. Jesus' word, it has authority and it has power. Back in Luke, have a look down with me at verse 33. Things were going to hit another level completely in the synagogue. We're in verse 33. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What are you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This is where it goes up a level. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." All eyes turned to the man. Verse 35, and when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And no surprise, reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. I wonder, did you spot it? Nodded to it. Did you notice where Jesus' authority went up a gear? The man with the unclean spirit, the unclean demon, shouts at Jesus, and Jesus replies, "Be silent, come out of him." The man thrown down, but unharmed, and he is free. What Jesus said should happen is what happened. Look, it's one thing to proclaim freedom from the captives. It's another thing entirely to deliver that freedom. This is the difference between the authority, in inverted commas, and power, in inverted commas, of MPs and politicians and the people of this world. They say a lot of things are going to happen, and often they don't. But Jesus' word, it has authority and power. When you hear him, you hear his authority. You know he speaks deeply and truthfully. But Jesus' word, it has power, it has punch, it has effect, it has impact. What he says happens every time. This is creation power at work. What I mean by that is, John's gospel, I'm sure this was the point at which John, who's probably watching there and going, wow, this is a whole nother level. He's kind of making notes for his gospel. And I'm sure that's the point he was like, do you know, I'm going to start with that. I'm going to start with, in the beginning was the word. Yes, the word. Because look at his words. That's creation power at work. When someone says and it happens, that's what God did in the beginning. And here is this man, Jesus, doing exactly the same thing. Now, consider this power of Jesus for a second. Let me ask you this. How are you going to react to that power? How are you going to react to that authority? Again, there's two options. It's very similar. You have one option. You can surrender to it. You can surrender to it and say, I surrender to your power, Jesus. Again, if you go for that option, look who you are surrendering to. Liberty, healing, freedom, blessing. The guy who uses creation, cosmic power to liberate, to free, to heal, to deliver, to bless. You are surrendering to the one who has the power to proclaim good news and to deliver that good news. But if you go with the option B, which is to, in the face of power or something that you find amazing, awesome, scary even, the fight or flight reflex might kick in. That's where you fight back. Some of us know that reflex, don't we? If you come across someone with power, you fight back. Or you flight. You flee from it. You run away. You get as far away as you can. Well, if you fight, yeah, good luck. You're against the one with creation power. Power not even at his fingertips. It's in his word. He doesn't have to lift a finger. Just has to speak. Just has to think. Just has to form the idea. And it comes into being. Trying to stand against that power and fight against that force is like trying to stand against the forces of the universe, the continual flow of time. Try and resist time for a second. Some of us with slightly grayer hair, would love to be able to do that. Resist the flow of time. No, you can't do it. And that's what it's like trying to stand against the power of Jesus. If you try and flee, take flight, run away, pretend he's not there, stick your head in the sand, then you are running away from the one who sees every galaxy and every tiny particle and subatomic particle down to their very construction. You can't run away. A guy called Jonah tried it once. Look what happened to him. You can't run away. You will have to face him eventually. And what then? Now, you might be thinking, blimey, what hope is there? What hope is there if, in the face of this authority and power? Well, don't worry. Because that is why Jesus came. It's for people who are going, what hope is there? What hope is there for me? What hope is there for you? What hope is there for us? Jesus came to use his power and authority to bring about hope, to preach the good news. And that's the last thing that we're going to look at. Back in Capernaum, verse 38, we're heading back to Simon Peter's house. Read with me. And he, Jesus, arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out, many crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." He was sent to preach the good news. Luke gives us examples of Jesus's power and authority, doesn't he? He shows us what it looks like. And he starts with Simon Peter's mother-in-law and heals her. I'm sure he was happy about that, having his mother-in-law back to full health. All of the people who are married are nodding. But then a sort of time lapse kind of happens of people coming and going. You know what a time lapse is? I do them. I work with videos. And it's where you take kind of frames of a video over a long period of time and then put them together, and it speeds it up. And things go really, really quickly. And so a time lapse happens of people coming and going, the sun setting, and people are coming and going in and out of Simon Peter's house. I'm sure he loved that as well, being a bloke. Loved having people in and out of the house. Sun rising again. The next day, the whole night, it's been people coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. Constant stream of people experiencing and benefiting from Jesus' power and his authority. By the way, just as a bit of an aside, did you notice the two bookends of this passage? Two demons, both crying out, going, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One, the Son of God." Have you ever wondered why Jesus tells them to shut it, to not say anything? I did. And then it hit me, and I must admit, it hit me while I was watching news about stuff going on in Ukraine. What would happen if Putin got on the TV and started backing Zelensky and saying, "He's a good guy. You should really do what he says. Support him." Social media campaign, leaflet drops, the works. Would that be a good thing? Well, no. Why? And here's the key. Because you do not want your enemy supporting your cause. And that's what these demons were doing. They were actually undermining Jesus' word, if they could. You do not want your enemy supporting your cause. And so Jesus tells them to be quiet. Now let me ask you this, children. Dare I ask you this? If you had ultimate cosmic power, divine authority, what would you do? What would you bring about? What would you create? What would you make happen? I'm guessing some of you might be looking at your parents with a bit of a mischievous grin, going, "Yeah, if I had cosmic power and authority, it'd be sweets, wouldn't it? It'd be sweets for dinner, sweets for tea, sweets for lunch, sweets for breakfast." Adults, if you had divine power, authority on this scale, what would you do for it? What would you do with it? The things that have popped in your head, I'm guessing most of them, if not all, are centered on you, right? And that's the difference between us and Jesus. Jesus takes his power and authority and he uses it to serve, to give. He uses it to speak and proclaim. And what does he proclaim? A good news. Here Jesus proclaimed the good news that had been promised since long ago. Freedom from sin, true lasting healing, a forever blessing. In fact, Jesus himself makes it clear at the end of Luke that that's what the whole Bible had been pointing us towards, the good news of Jesus. And here Jesus proclaimed the good news. And as we read on in Luke's gospel, we will read that not only did he proclaim it, he also achieved it. That he did what was promised long ago, that he went to the cross, and on himself he takes every sin, every wrongdoing, every brokenness that we have brought about because of our rebellion. And he pays the price and gives himself. And he uses his power and authority to see that justice is done, wrongdoing is paid for, guilty is punished. But he is the one who is in our place. And then in his resurrection 3 days later, he uses his power and authority to defeat the very thing that we are all fearful of, the grave. And he comes out of the grave, and in his resurrection, he is saying, look, the proof, if you need it anymore, of my power and authority, the tomb is open. The way through death is now made available to you. Come, follow me, trust in me, and you too will go through death, and I will bring you into my forever kingdom of light and life and peace and goodness and blessing. That is what Jesus did with his ultimate cosmic power. So what about us? Well, what difference is this going to make to you and I? Because we're this side of Jesus achieving that good news, right? We don't need to tell anyone that the good news is coming. Which is why Jesus used his power and authority to send us to tell others that it has now come. In Matthew 28, you can read it on your own. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And what does he say? Now go. Go make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. He says, go. Make other disciples. Tell them this good news. Teach them about it. Get them believing it. Get them following me. And he doesn't send us empty-handed. He gives us his authority, his word in the Bible. And he gives us his power, his spirit of power, living in everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. And he sends us to continue what he started. Remember that opening illustration? So Jesus uses his authority to preach the good news. He preached the good news. He achieved the good news. And then he sends us to do the first because he accomplished the second. Remember that thing at the beginning about being in that village, that war-torn village? It's like that commando comes and says to everyone, go and tell everyone, the rescue has come. I am here. That is how Jesus sends us out into the world. With his power and authority in the word and the spirit, with the message of the good news that we have just heard. What are you going to do this remainder of the day, this coming week, this holiday season, for the rest of your life? I don't know about you, but I'm hearing Jesus telling me to go and tell others and share that good news as best as I can. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bit of the Bible, what it says about Jesus and all that he has done for us. His power and authority clearly seen in his healing of the sick and his delivering those who are oppressed. His power and authority shown in achieving the good news that he proclaimed for us. Please, Lord, help us to use the word you have given, the authority that we have. Help us to do so in the power of the Spirit in us. And may we continue his work and preach the good news to others. Amen.